Okay, so welcome to the deep dive. And today, we're going to jump right in to something you've probably felt maybe even today, just the sheer speed of all this technological change that's happening in the 21st century.
Yeah,
It's
absolutely.
almost become like a running joke now. If you think you've got a handle on like the latest gadget or the trend, well,
It's
it's
gone.
already being replaced.
It's already obsolete. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that feeling of rapid obsolescence isn't just in our heads either.
Right.
The material we've been looking at really underscores this acceleration and its far-reaching consequences for how we live, work, everything, really.
Absolutely. And our
Yeah.
goal here isn't to just, list off a bunch of new technologies.
Right.
We want to unpack what are the core drivers of this acceleration?
Okay.
What are the kind of surprising contradictions that it throws up
Yeah.
and the real dilemmas that it creates for society and for you personally? We've been going through a lot of articles and our own notes on this, and trust me, there are some really fascinating angles.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, are you ready to jump right in?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Okay, great. So, one of the immediate things that really stood out to me was what we might call the paradox of progress.
Okay.
So, think about how incredibly intertwined our modern world is,
Yeah.
things like energy grids and global supply
It's
chains.
huge. Yeah.
This very intricate web brings us so much, convenience and comfort.
For sure.
Like, think about it.
Yeah.
You can order something online on the other side of the world, and it just shows up at your doorstep in like 2 days.
Right. It's
We just
wild.
flip a switch and we expect the lights to come on.
Yeah, totally. We don't even think about it.
Yeah, we don't even think about it twice, right?
No.
But this is where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
This very interconnectedness that we're talking about
Yeah.
actually breeds a certain level of fragility.
Right.
So imagine like a domino effect. If one key part of this whole system falters,
Yes.
it can have these knock-on effects across the entire network, and it's kind of scary to think about.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing that our sources really point to is this economic model
Yeah.
that's fueling much of this drive for high turnover
Okay.
and what's known as planned obsolescence.
Oh, you mean like how my brand new phone suddenly feels slow after a year?
Exactly.
Or, how software is constantly demanding these updates that seem to just bog down older
Yes,
devices.
exactly.
It feels like we're on this just endless cycle of needing the next new thing.
Totally. And a lot of industries are kind of relying on this constant churn of consumption,
Okay.
new gadgets, updated software, the latest models of vehicles,
Right.
This undoubtedly drives economic activity,
Yeah.
but the material we've examined also highlights a less visible cost:
Okay.
environmental strain and economic instability.
It's interesting how we don't always think about that, right?
Yeah, it's kind of hidden.
All that manufacturing, all that discarded technology piling up,
Huge amounts. Yeah.
it's clearly taking a toll on the environment.
Right.
And this idea of built-in obsolescence, it's not exactly a recipe for long-term economic stability, is it?
Well, that's the question, right?
Yeah.
And actually, the 2008 financial crisis
Oh, right.
was a perfect example of
Yeah.
how these interconnected systems, like the auto industry's reliance on these complex supply chains,
Right.
can lead to widespread collapse when one part stumbles.
Wow. It's like a house of cards in a way.
Exactly, it is. These
Yeah.
tightly coupled systems mean that a disruption in one area can just cascade so rapidly.
And for the listener, this probably resonates with that feeling of always needing to upgrade your devices
Yes.
or learn new software just to stay current.
Constantly adapting.
It's a relentless cycle of adaptation.
Totally.
It is
Yeah,
exhausting.
it is.
And it feels like the minute you finally get comfortable with
Whatever.
one piece of
All
technology,
right.
five new ones have appeared that you're now expected to just understand.
Exactly.
And that leads us to another really crucial aspect highlighted in our sources, this whole idea of the expanding knowledge gap.
Yeah, and this is a big one.
Yeah.
What's fascinating here is how rapid technological advancement actually widens this gap.
Yeah.
As technologies become more and more sophisticated,
Yeah.
the specialized knowledge you need to really understand them becomes increasingly siloed,
Right.
and we end up relying on what are essentially opaque black box systems
Yeah.
that most of us simply can't fully comprehend.
Black docs. That's a perfect way to describe it.
Yeah.
Think about something like blockchain or
Yeah.
even aspects of AI or quantum computing.
Right.
It just feels like magic happening behind the scenes for most of us.
Totally. And our sources contrast this with older, more tangible technologies, like a water wheel.
Okay.
You could see the mechanics. You could understand how it was harnessing energy.
Right. It was very visual.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that transition from those visible mechanical systems to these very abstract digital platforms,
Yeah.
it is a fundamental shift. And grasping even the basic principles of a lot of these new technologies often requires years of specialized training.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And this naturally creates a barrier and excludes non-experts from really meaningful engagement.
Right. And that has huge implications for how our societies actually function, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, even our sources use the example of debates around nuclear energy,
Yeah.
things like reactor safety protocols and long-term waste storage.
Right.
These are deeply technical issues.
Very much so. And it raises this question about democratic governance.
Okay.
When citizens can't understand the fundamental technologies that are shaping their future, how meaningful is their participation in those really crucial decisions?
Almost becomes pragmatic reliance, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I
in a
mean, well,
way.
the power's on, so I guess the experts know what they're doing with that nuclear power plant over there.
Yeah, you just
But
trust.
there's a real sense of detachment, a feeling of being on the outside looking in
Yeah.
when it comes to these really vital technological discussions.
For sure.
Have you ever felt that way listening to this?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like there's this whole realm of technology that's profoundly impacting your life, but you just don't truly grasp it.
For sure. And that feeling of being disconnected has these broader implications too.
Yeah.
It's not just the knowledge gap.
Yeah.
There are environmental and psychological costs associated with this relentless technological drive.
You know, the phrase that really resonated with me from our sources was instant plastic identical.
Oh, yeah.
And it just kind of paints this picture of a consumer culture that feels, well, a bit soulless.
Yeah.
It's all about these quickly produced, often disposable items.
Right.
This constant cycle of wanting more, wanting the next new thing.
Yeah, always wanting
I
more.
was even thinking about last week, I bought this gadget I probably didn't need.
Yeah.
It came in all this plastic packaging that went straight in the trash, and it just felt so fleeting.
Right, exactly. It's very disposable.
Yeah.
And that high rate of industrial production and consumption, of course, has a direct impact on the planet.
Yeah.
It depletes these finite natural resources at an alarming pace and contributes to various forms of pollution.
Right.
But of course, we need to have a nuanced view.
Okay.
Our sources also acknowledge that mass production has, in many ways, democratized access to technology and consumer goods,
Another.
leading to improvements in quality of life for a lot of people, especially in developing regions.
That's a really crucial perspective to keep in mind.
Yeah.
It's not this simple equation of progress equals bad,
Right.
but there's still this underlying tension, this fundamental question of whether we can continue down this trajectory
Yeah.
without undermining the environment and our well-being in the long run.
That's the big question.
Yeah, it is a big question.
And I mean, the ongoing search for cleaner energy sources like solar, wind, tidal power, that's a prime example
Yeah.
of humanity trying to address this tension. Yet, the sources point out that widespread adoption of these alternatives faces significant economic and infrastructural challenges.
Right. And even when we try to solve one environmental problem,
Right.
we can inadvertently create another. Like with
Exactly.
rare earth metals,
Right.
there are essential components in a lot of green technologies,
Yeah.
like lithium-ion batteries.
Yeah, and electric vehicles.
Yeah, exactly. And so we're trying to move away from fossil fuels, which is a positive step,
Right.
but we're simultaneously creating these new demands for these other resources,
Right.
often with their own environmental and ethical concerns about their extraction.
Totally.
It feels like we're constantly shifting the burden rather than actually solving the underlying problem.
Yeah, like a shell game almost.
Yeah.
And that kind of leads us to another fascinating paradox
Okay.
highlighted in the sources. This perceived empowerment that comes with having unprecedented access to information,
Oof, through the internet.
the internet, social media.
It's truly remarkable when you think about it. You can learn about almost any topic imaginable.
Pretty much.
You can connect with people across vast distances.
Yeah.
It should be this incredible era of knowledge and understanding.
In theory.
Right.
But what's striking is this concurrent decline in critical thinking skills and scientific literacy,
Okay.
and this ability to distinguish credible information from misinformation.
Oh, wow.
despite this overwhelming abundance of data, public trust in scientific institutions and experts has actually decreased in many parts of the world.
Yeah.
Remember that quote from the UK government minister?
Oh, yeah.
The people of this country have had enough of experts.
Wow.
That really kind of encapsulates this skepticism.
It does.
Yeah.
It's almost as if the sheer volume of information is overwhelming our ability to actually process it.
Exactly.
And make it harder to filter out the noise.
Yeah, there's just so much noise.
And our sources emphasize how social media algorithms contribute to this.
Yes.
They prioritize content that generates these strong emotional responses.
Right, clicks, likes, shares.
Yeah.
And that's not always aligned with accuracy
yeah.
or factual reporting.
So these algorithms can actually create echo chambers then.
Yeah.
Where we're only shown content that aligns with our existing beliefs.
Right.
Reinforces those beliefs and limits our exposure to other perspectives.
Yeah, exactly. And that 2018 study on Twitter showed how false news spreads so much faster and wider than factual information.
This all played out during the COVID pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
Just the sheer volume of conflicting and inaccurate information about the virus, vaccines, treatments. It was staggering.
Right. Even when there was clear scientific consensus.
It really makes you reflect on your own experience.
Yeah.
How easy is it to find a trustworthy source online?
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed yourself just primarily engaging with information that confirms what you already believe?
Oh, for sure. We all do it.
It's a good question to ask ourselves.
Yeah.
And this constant barrage of information, it doesn't just impact our ability to discern truth. It also contributes to what our sources call cognitive overload.
Yeah, and that's a huge one.
It is huge.
The sheer amount of data being generated every day.
Right.
Hundreds of millions of terabytes. It's a number so large, it's almost meaningless.
Yeah, I can't even fathom that.
It's no wonder our brains feel overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Research shows that when we're faced with this much information, our brains rely more heavily on heuristics, these mental shortcuts to make decisions.
Okay.
While those shortcuts can be efficient, they also make us more susceptible to biases and misinformation.
Right.
And as we grapple with this information overload, we're simultaneously facing the rapid development of artificial intelligence.
Oh my gosh, AI. It feels like this other massive wave that's approaching so quickly.
Oh, it's here. It's happening.
There's so much excitement, but also a lot of anxiety about its potential impact on jobs and society.
Yeah, the concerns surrounding job displacement are huge. There is a study mentioned in our sources that suggests that AI-driven automation could displace hundreds of millions of jobs globally by 2030.
Wow.
Across a range of sectors.
That is a lot of jobs.
It's a lot of jobs, from manufacturing and transportation to customer service and even those white-collar creative professions.
It really challenges that long-held assumption that new technologies will inevitably create enough new jobs to compensate.
Yeah, that's the big question.
What happens when the technology is not just a tool, but actually more capable than humans at performing these tasks?
And that's what we're seeing. I mean, the economic ramifications of this shift could be huge.
Okay.
Our sources highlight this growing concern that AI will exacerbate income inequality.
Right.
It'll create this divide between those who own and control the technology, a small group of skilled AI specialists, and a much larger segment of the population whose jobs have been automated.
Right. And that term that they used, permanent retirement, instead of redundancy.
It's striking.
It really is.
It underscores the potential for long-term economic polarization.
It paints a pretty stark picture of a potential future.
Yeah, it does.
So facing all these interconnected challenges, the paradox of progress, the knowledge gap, environmental consequences, the illusion of empowerment, cognitive overload, and the impact of AI.
So much.
Our sources then explore some potential future pathways.
Okay.
And it's crucial to remember that we're presenting these as possibilities discussed in the material, not endorsing any specific course of action.
Just laying it out there.
Yeah.
So one of the pathways was this move towards deindustrialization and a greater emphasis on localized, self-sufficient rural communities.
Okay.
Essentially a step back from advanced technology.
So going back to like an agrarian society.
In a way, the argument is that this would significantly reduce pollution and our reliance on these complex, fragile systems.
That makes sense.
But then there are the counter arguments about the feasibility of supporting the current global population with that approach.
Right.
And, you know, we're so deeply ingrained with technology now.
Totally.
it would be a huge shift.
Yeah.
Then there's the idea of selective innovation.
Right.
This is a more controlled approach where we regulate the direction of research and development,
okay,
focusing on technologies deemed beneficial.
Okay, like what would be an example of that?
Like renewable energy advancements in healthcare.
Okay, so the things that we deem good for society.
Exactly. And potentially halting the development of things that are seen as harmful.
Okay.
But then the question becomes, who decides what's beneficial?
Right.
And what's harmful? Yeah. And are there potential unintended consequences?
Yeah, because even something that might seem harmful,
right,
could have some benefits somewhere else.
Exactly. So it's not black and white.
Yeah.
Another perspective is the shift towards redistribution.
Okay.
And a focus on creating durable, long-lasting goods and ensuring their equitable distribution.
Okay, so instead of constantly making new products,
mm-hmm,
we focus on making really good products that last a long time.
Right, and making sure everyone has access to them.
Okay.
While ethically appealing to many.
Yeah.
This approach doesn't address the geopolitical power imbalances.
That's true.
And it makes the assumption that our needs are static.
And they're not.
No, they're constantly evolving.
They are.
And then, of course, there's the path of just unrestrained growth.
Okay, so continuing down the path that we're already on.
Yeah, essentially accepting the environmental trade-offs.
Okay.
The argument here is that historically, technological progress has solved its own problems and led to improvements in living standards.
Right.
But as our sources point out, we are already seeing the failures of this approach.
Okay.
In the face of things like widespread hunger, ongoing conflict, and ecological collapse.
And it almost feels like we're hitting that point of no return.
Yeah, and there's this concerning possibility that authoritarian measures might be necessary.
Oh, wow.
To manage the potential chaos,
right,
that might come from these unresolved issues.
And we're seeing a little bit of that already.
In some areas, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a spectrum of potential futures, each with its own challenges and trade-offs. So the conclusion of our source material kind of brings together all these arguments.
Okay.
It reiterates the unprecedented rate of technological obsolescence,
right,
the interconnectedness of our systems,
right,
and the growing societal divisions.
And it really underscores these paradoxes.
Yeah.
This need to balance efficiency with equity.
For sure.
And specialization with accessibility.
Right. And understanding.
A real reevaluation of our values in light of all this rapid change.
Absolutely. A total recalibration.
Yeah.
And the sources suggest that to address this alienation and empower citizens, we need more interdisciplinary dialogue.
Okay.
More transparency and governance.
Yeah.
And more inclusive education.
More well-rounded education.
And when it comes to misinformation, we need to cultivate critical thinking skills.
Okay.
Promote media literacy. Encourage scientific reasoning.
So really equip people with the tools.
Yeah, exactly.
To actually parse all this information.
Give them the tools to figure it out.
Yeah, okay.
And the sources also talk about developing more responsible information platforms,
okay,
bolstering fact-checking and improving public science communication.
Yeah, because we need to be able to trust the sources of information.
We do.
Yeah.
But the source material expresses some pessimism about whether these measures will actually be implemented.
It's hard to be optimistic sometimes.
Yeah.
When it feels like things are moving so quickly.
Yeah, and in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
They also touch on this concept of convivial technologies.
Okay.
Things like open source software or decentralized energy grids,
okay,
that enhance autonomy and reduce dependence on large centralized entities.
Okay, so it's putting the power back in the hands of the people.
In a way, yeah.
Okay.
But their limited success so far is also noted.
It's difficult to get those things off the ground sometimes.
Yeah, it can be.
Yeah.
Ultimately, the sources argue for a reimagining of the social contract.
Okay.
Ensuring that progress serves humanity.
Okay.
Rather than just perpetuating cycles of obsolescence and exclusion.
And that's the goal.
That should be the goal.
Yeah.
But again, the outlook is somewhat pessimistic.
Right.
The high stakes of our technological choices are emphasized, especially in the context of the climate crisis and AI.
And the fragility of our society.
Yes.
Is really revealed by the pandemic.
Oh, absolutely.
And then there's this whole issue of corporate and government control over research and development.
Yeah.
Often prioritizing profit over transparency.
That's right.
Think about CRISPR or advanced AI, all developed behind closed doors.
Right. We don't really know what's happening.
And then there are corporate patents and proprietary algorithms,
yeah,
that restrict access to information.
Right. Like pharmaceutical companies withholding drug trial data.
It's like they're controlling the flow of knowledge in a way.
Yeah, and that can be really dangerous.
It can.
The sources conclude with a sense of the inevitability of change, whether we understand it or not.
And that quote, ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, it's a powerful one.
It is.
So we've journeyed through the paradoxes of this rapidly evolving world.
Yeah.
The vulnerabilities of our systems, the gaps in knowledge, the challenges of navigating this information environment.
So much to think about.
There it is.
What are some of the key takeaways that are resonating with you?
For me, it's that contrast between the access to information and the erosion of our ability to evaluate it.
Yeah. It's like we're swimming in data, but thirsting for understanding.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
And it leads us to a final thought for you, the listener.
Okay.
Given this unstoppable momentum of change,
yeah,
and all the complexity,
all the paradoxes,
what does it mean to be an informed and engaged citizen?
That's the question.
Is ignorance just a coping mechanism? Or is there a more proactive role we can play?
It's a question worth pondering.
It is.
We encourage you to keep exploring these themes and to consider the implications for your own life and your community.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody.
See you next time.
See you later.